Good morning. You listen to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Joe Yarborough, who's the president with the Carpet and Rug Institute. Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, Kemp. Pleasure to be with you this morning.
Good to be with you. Now, you've had this job for 2 months, and I apologize. I've been traveling. We haven't been able to get our schedules together, but I definitely want to do this interview. I'm excited you've taken this role. So let's talk a little bit about your past. You went to the University of Auburn, didn't you?
Well, Auburn University. We'll call our War Eagles Auburn University.
From Auburn, did you come straight into this industry?
Well, I did. In 1972, I had the opportunity to join Coronet Industries, which at that time was a subsidiary of the RCA Corporation.
So you worked with Bud Sarantine, and many people know that he was quite a character and helped kind of bring this industry along, didn't he?
Well, he certainly was an outstanding leader, and it was a privilege for me to work directly with Bud. He had a penchant for a facility that he had built in Europe, and I had the opportunity to work with him very closely with the activities in the European operation, which gave me a lot of time firsthand with him and with some of the other leaders at the time there at Coronet. Jack Bandy and Norris Little were there, so had the opportunity to work very closely with both of those gentlemen as well, and Justin Robinson. So good opportunity there in the early days with the Coronet team.
All those names you've mentioned have gone on to be icons in this business. So then you spent almost 36 years at Mohawk. That was your next employer, right?
Yes, sir, that is correct. In 1978, I had the opportunity to go over with Alan Lorberbaum and the Lorberbaum family with Aladdin Mills, and of course, that company merged with Mohawk in 1994, so until just recently, I was employed with Mohawk and retired from that organization at the end of March this year. So working with the Lorberbaum family and great folks like Alan and Shirley and now Jeff and I sort of grew up in the business together from a chronological age standpoint, and what a privilege to work with all those. And Jack Sharp, of course, was the financial person in the organization and a lot of business leadership too. So I feel very privileged to have had a 44-year tenure that has allowed me to work with truly icons of the industry, and then to transition my career to this presidency of the Carpet and Rug Institute, where I can leverage that 44 years of experience in the industry to the needs that the carpet industry has today. So I feel very privileged and thankful to have this opportunity.
You know, the last time I saw you before this announcement that you were taking this job, you were actually hosting the governor on this major rollout of Mohawk's Continuum expansion. So I could tell you were familiar with him. And, you know, you left Mohawk as the executive vice president of operations. But, you know, one thing we need to point out is that the Carpet and Rug Institute is no stranger to you, because you've actually been in a leadership role with the Silk, haven't you?
Yes, sir. Back in 2011, we began to reassess as mill members the mission of CRI and the structure and the focus of it. And quite frankly, in large measure, perhaps it had evolved and morphed into a technical organization that was focused principally on certification and other types of technical issues. And the reality is that the industry has much bigger issues that are more business related. And so there was a significant amount of reorganization that occurred. We established this thing you referred to as SILC, which is the Strategic Issues Leadership Council. Mm-hmm. And I chaired that for 2 years.
Okay. You know, when you look back at the history of the Carpet and Rug Institute, you're really over a 30-year period. You know, Ron Van Gelderen, I believe, led it for 20 years. Then Werner came in from the Chlorine Chemical Council, and he led it for over 10 years. And now you take the helm. When Ron stepped in, there were 200 mills out there, and now it's much more consolidated. How has the role of the CRI changed as a result of this consolidation?
Well, with the obvious change of a membership representation going from perhaps hundreds to a few dozen, mm-hmm. certainly the focus that the CRI can provide has changed, no doubt about it. And I think that one of the things that we see is not only has the number of members changed, but the makeup of those members and their market-facing activities have certainly changed as well. Mm-hmm. Consolidating the industry into fewer numbers has had, I think, many positive aspects as the industry has matured. It has provided, as you know, even in this recession that we've experienced here in the last more than half decade, we have seen our industry members continue to invest significant capital into technology, to advancing their workforce development, and those things that are making them more efficient, more effective, more profitable companies. And so the consolidation, I think, has afforded opportunities for that sort of focus in these very difficult times, and it has allowed our members to reinvest and focus on the soft flooring part of their businesses. And it's encouraging to me because even though many of them are diversified into other hard surface flooring options, mm-hmm. the investments in the soft flooring says that those industry member leaders have confidence that the soft flooring business is a valuable part of their portfolios, and it's a segment of their business that they're obviously choosing to reinvest in. Therefore, I think that we see a bright future for the soft flooring industry, even though, as you pointed out with some of your statistics recently, that the market share of soft floor covering continues to shrink, albeit at a perhaps slower pace than in some past years. But the reality is the competition for the flooring surface is there. I personally, with my experience, see soft flooring as having a tremendous value for the consumer. It's still one of the best economic values to cover a floor and provide the styling and decorating complement to a home or a business that affords a great economic advantage and an aesthetic advantage. So I'm excited about all those things, Kim.
Now that you have this leadership role, what do you hope to accomplish as the leader of Carpet Rug Institute?
You know, you have to ask yourself, what are the most important issues that the industry is facing today? And in order to validate that, over these last 8 weeks, one of the things that I have been doing is visiting with the leadership of the member companies to ask questions about the mission of the CRI.
Yeah.
The mission shows up on our website, and the mission is well stated there. But I'm reassessing with the input of our mill member leadership, is this the mission statement that makes sense for you as a mill member? Does this mission provide the relevance for you as a member company to address the needs that you feel you have that a trade association can support? And so we're in the process of gathering that information today. It's clear that one of the biggest issues that we face as an industry is the EPR legislation and mandates that could become an issue for the industry relative to the life cycle of post-consumer carpet. And so it's clear that we are looking for the right solutions to extended producer responsibility. We believe that our industry has a long and valuable legacy of doing voluntary programs and investing resources both monetarily and with our member companies' personnel to find solutions that provide sustainable carpet and provide solutions to how that diversion from landfills and the recycling output can be increased. And as you know, we're associated with CARE. I had the privilege of seeing you in Seattle at the annual CARE conference. So working with solutions for that are on a market-based, voluntary approach, I think is one of the key things that we have to work on both in the near and the midterm horizon for the CRI.
You know, I haven't looked at the CARE website in a while, so let me just go from my gut. It would seem to me that the Carpet and Rug Institute's primary mission would be try to remove the hurdles that cause the deselection of the use of carpet. Is that roughly what your mission is?
That would be a fair statement, Kemp. The mission, you know, is it talks about education. It talks about the stakeholders and focused on things like health benefits and environmental efforts to trends and then this carpet lifespan that I just alluded to. There's a lengthy 3 or 4 sentence mission statement, but in the past, my predecessor talked about identifying and removing barriers to profitability and growth for our member companies. That was a statement that you heard frequently, and I think that's a bit like motherhood and apple pie.
Yeah.
We certainly want to do what we can as a trade association to support that concept. And so that's the reason that I'm reaching out to our members' leadership to ensure that we're focused on the things that are important to them and, as appropriate, modify our mission and our direction to conform with what's relevant to aid them in profitability for their companies.
Well, what are you going to do? Let's say that if you have several big members that are also in the hard surface business, and one of their core objectives is around growing their hard surface business, which would be counter to the Carpet and Rug Institute's, how do you work through those kind of issues?
I'm pleased to say that my experience has been that the soft floor covering business and the hard surface businesses can coexist. I think it's encouraging that the value that soft floor covering brings, the technology advancements that have been made to continue to lower the cost of production while at the same time increasing the performance value of soft floor covering. I really believe that all of our members, regardless of their diversity of other floorings, see the soft flooring business as being a very viable and profit-contributing activity for their business. So these investments, to me, speak very strongly that they expect those investments to last for many, many years, decades into the future. And so I think that the two surfaces can coexist and complement each other as we go forward. So I'm optimistic that soft floor covering has a very bright future.
All right. Well, Joe, I really appreciate the time today. We've again been talking to Joe Yarborough, who's the president of the Carpet and Rug Institute, and you've been listening to Kemphar and FloorDaily.net.